Welcome to Pivotal Change, everyone. We have a very fun episode tonight because this show, as you know, is about leadership, changing yourself as a person of influence or who wants to have more influence, doing whatever you can to find those one or two little expert talking points that you can implement to make your pivotal change on your path to success. And tonight, I'm going to be reflecting back on a lot of the traveling and education and networking that I have been doing over the last month. See, as a leader, you should always be seeking personal growth, personal change, so that you can help others do the same. And I've been taking almost an entire month to do that on and off in my business. And I want to share with you some of my discovery points along the way. So hello, I'm Ryan Kahn, the host of Pivotal Change, and I own CS Business Consulting and Shelton Associates CPA. What I want to talk to you about tonight is how you need to view your family differently than how you view it right now. I had the opportunity to travel down to Miami and Boca Raton and Fort Lauderdale for a series of events and conferences. The people that we were surrounding ourselves with down there were very high net worth individuals. Some were even billionaires. And then I had the opportunity to travel to a training conference and go on to an exclusive cruise ship that discussed families, how to 10X your life and your business. And then I went to Dubai and Abu Dhabi, partly to enjoy the F1 races that just finished up, but also to enjoy the Family Offices Conference and learn from some of the best financial planners and teams in the world. And then the finance week, I only got a couple of days and I had to come back home with some of the best financial planners in the world as well. And there's lots of big names there. And here are some of the lessons I have learned from all these travel. Lesson number one. Your family needs to be run more like a business, not just like a business, but more like a business. Ultimately, you should view your family as your brand. So my family would be the Kahn brand. And every family already has a reputation, its own identity, its own culture. And with that, you need to be able to grow and foster your identity and your culture into the right direction. By treating your family as like a business, your brand can elevate. You can set expectations for behavior, how people can do contributions, and how ultimately you will be unified as a family unit, all growing in the right direction together. It's very important that you study how you interact with each other, how you communicate with the outside world, how you take actions together, how you respond to negative things or when chaos enters itself into your life. If you can discuss the idea that your family is a strong brand that demands protection. It demands refinement and growth. Trying to get to that excellent or elite mindset, you have to be intentional about that growth. So once you change your mindset into viewing yourself as a family brand, you can do a lot of things differently. For example, all successful businesses have structure, leadership structure, organizational structure. So for the sake of argument, we have a traditional family structure where there's a father, a mother, and children. And if you were to view the father as the president of the company, he would use all the input and all the resources of everyone to make the best decisions possible. He would have the mother or wife as a vice president, contributing all the ideas and executing a lot of what goes on. And the two of them would work in congruency to elevate the family together. And the children would be a contributing team member, some type of team role, team player, so they can all rally around the table and bring something to develop each other. It's not necessarily just a strict hierarchy for control, because each person is going to have to use decision-making capabilities based on their roles, their responsibilities, and what it is they bring to the table. But nobody should just get a free ride in a family. Part of what a family unit is, they look out for each other, they take care of each other, they protect each other, they shelter each other emotionally, mentally, physically, and all those capacities. So in that hierarchy of leadership, not necessarily just control, there are responsibilities, communication, and accountability that must be shared and taken on the shoulders of everyone. Families that can clarify their structure, and each family might have a slightly different structure, they start to remove confusion. We laugh because there's so many sitcoms and TV shows in the world about these dysfunctional families. And I'm sure you could go to any of the streaming services right now or some of the old cable channels and immediately find a very funny and popular sitcom about all the dysfunctions of the family unit, the marriages, the children's, the hijinks, the neighbors, whatever it is. But to remove and reduce those frictions, you can really create a structure where there's limited to no confusion, reduction of conflict, and you can improve the overall family vision. So one of the things that's very important is that you have a family mission. You have a family vision. You have a family structure with core responsibilities. And here in just a second, I'm going to show you what my family mission, vision, core statement, and things look like as well. So when you do that, you have to take a template and a mindset that you want to have weekly family meetings, run it a little bit more like a business. You want to set agendas. You want to make sure that everyone's on the same page. What is happening this week? Does little Susie have a big test that she's preparing for, and we need to create a peaceful study environment, or maybe even help her understand the material because Big Brother has been through that class 2 years ago and knows the teacher and can help the material? Does somebody have a really powerful performance or sporting event in which we need to help them practice and rehearse or give their speech to the family audience so we can develop the speech? Does somebody have a community event coming up? We're all going to go feed the homeless coming into a Thanksgiving or Christmas season, and we can help them prepare the baskets, prepare the handouts, or even go serve with them. So what are we doing with our family agendas, our cadence as a family? What are the non-negotiables? Are you a family that is faithful? You're going to go to church every Sunday, no matter what. You're going to participate in certain youthographs, events or activities. Then you need some goal planning time. What goals do we have as a family? What are our personal goals? What are our financial goals, both as the parents and as the children? What needs do we have? What trips are we planning? And what are we actively seeking to learn? So you want to treat the home like a strategic environment, not a reactive one. Strategic and proactive, not reactive. And if you've watched episodes before, you know how much I emphasize the difference between action and reaction. And you need to be proactive with your family. Parents, your job, the major part, is to be the chief talent developers. So you're trying to, just like a business would develop a sales team, or they would train people in the skills on a software or a mechanical process or a certain set of tools, your job is to develop, to train and expand the capabilities of your children. So teaching your children skills and leadership is extremely important. And if you run your family a little more like a business, they're inherently going to understand that there are structures, hierarchies, there's commands and directives and subordination and submission and obedience, as well as collaboration and thoughtfulness and open-mindedness and open-door policies, and where I can approach my parents with anything. Once you get these communications underway, you can start having some of these things like, oh no, I can't tell my dad, he'll kill me. Instead of, oh my goodness, I'm in a tight spot. I need to run to my dad, he'll know exactly what to do. Oh, this boy at school likes me, but I don't think he's that great. I'm not gonna tell my mother about it. Or I really need my mom's advice on if I should date this boy. And you can start to see the family dynamics change. Then you'll perceive the outside world in a different way as well. Does this relationship, does this activity, does this person, this place, this thing enhance what we do in our family mission? Does it enhance the vision that we have for ourselves? So if you can do that, you can also show how discipline development builds confident and capable young adults. There's something that's very important, is that, you know, ignorance and arrogance results in a swift end. But confidence and competence brings lasting rewards. And I know that's like a fortune cookie, but that's something I came up with years ago to help my children understand it's okay to build confidence and competence in your skills. So learn how to share a mission, learn how to achieve a vision together, and learn how to establish your core values. Families thrive everyone knows what they stand for, and when everyone is working in the same direction. So write your mission down. Actually go down and write the mission down. What does your family stand for? Articulate the values that you have and make decisions through that filter. You should raise up everything against that filter, compare it to whatever is going on, and say, yes, that promotes the vision. No, that doesn't support the mission that we're here to do every day of every week. And then begin teaching stewardship as well. So protect the family name. Do not allow yourselves to go put yourself in a position where you're going to look foolish, you're going to be slandered, you're going to do that. People are going to attack you. There's going to be haters no matter where you are, at what level you achieve. There's always going to be somebody that's going to try to take something away from you. And your job is to elevate the family name, elevate the family's future, and create opportunities and resources for everyone. So in summary of this segment, before we have to cut to commercial break, I want you guys to understand that you need to pay the active attention and the active time it takes to establish these things. We go so hard and we go work so hard for our sports team. We go get private lessons and we go work hard and we watch YouTube videos and we get the best equipment available just so that we can hit a baseball a little better, a little farther. We can dribble a soccer ball that much more efficiently. We go and we do things for our hobbies and take elaborate trips. And we'll plan down to the minute the itinerary on our beach vacation so that we can get the best parasailing, the best view on the beach, and the best restaurant. But we won't spend 5 minutes meeting together as a family to plan out our week, to plan out our goals, to plan out our future together. So I challenge you to consider those things and stay tuned for this next segment because we're going to expand this into family growth in just a second. We'll be right back with more Pivotal Change after this break. Welcome back from the break. I hope you love what you're watching. And if you do, I want to give you the opportunity to not have to ever miss a moment of Pivotal Change or any of your favorite shows on Now Media TV. See, this is live on demand and it's anytime, anywhere. What you can do is you can download Now Media TV app on your Roku or iOS device and get instant access to the full bilingual lineup. That is both English and Spanish. So if you prefer to listen on the go, we have an option for that as well. There is a podcast version of the show. Just go to the TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. And that gets you everything from business to breaking news, lifestyles and culture, and everything in between. That's 24/7 streaming wherever and whenever you want it on nowmedia.tv. So with that being said, we're going to keep teaching you how you can get great content on the show. On the first segment, I want to give you a quick recap of what we talked about. We talked about viewing your family differently, viewing your family as a brand. That was number one. Number two, having a distinct leadership structure inside your home, the whole president, vice president conversation. Planning and communication, training and development, and then shared mission, vision, and values. And I told you I wanted to show you something on the first break. So this is what I have in my family structure. It's the Kahn Family Rules and Expectations. It started off with a summer statement, and then it determined itself to be tweaked for the entire time. And if you go through and you scroll through this statement here, you can understand that we have priorities. We have things that we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about. So this one says church and spiritual activities come first. We're a faithful household, and we do that. Then you continue to move down through the list, and you set up a lot of different priorities that everyone's going to have. The summer's full of vacation and trips and things like that, and you can go through and set your priorities and develop a document. So I just wanted you guys to get a quick glance on the screen about that. So switching over to what I want to talk about next is now that you are looking at yourself in a different light as a family, you can also now understand that every family, as it grows and every family, as it tries to achieve and move higher, well, guess what? You're going to reach certain breakpoints. What breakpoint means in life and business is the following. In business, breakpoints are like levels where like your old systems, your certain level of skill training and development, whatever those are, they are not working to their maximum efficiency and they need to be created. Family, you hit similar breakpoints. But when a child becomes a toddler to a preteen to a teen, those are different breakpoints. And the same systems, the same tricks and parenting styles need to be developed and molded over time. So your family's going to hit breakpoints when you get an empty nester and all the kids leave the house. So when your finances changes, maybe there's a job change or a breakthrough at a business that does that. When leadership is unclear, maybe something is changing in whose roles or responsibilities are, you need to grow with that. And you need to get these responsibilities to grow alongside everything else. The nice thing is that most people feel like they're stuck. They're at a breakpoint or maybe they just can't bust through this invisible ceiling. But getting to a breakpoint is actually a sign of growth, not a sign of failure. What you do at the next level is completely up to your family and the amount of structure and the amount of communication and organization that you have. So one of the things that you need to do is you need to be diagnosing your family or your personal breakpoints. That means sitting down and identifying where you're at, what you have going on, what is working, what is not working, and then you take the answer to the both of those questions and you apply that to the new situation so that you can remove what's not working and enhance what is working. Then you need to always, always assess and identify where is communication breaking down. The total summary of all debriefs I've been to, all mission critical meetings, all playbacks of corporate summaries and everything like that, there is an overwhelming, hey guys, what do we need to do better? What do we need to do better? And everyone always raises their hand and says communication. So communication needs to constantly be diagnosed. They need to look at your family if you're getting to a breakpoint. Look at your financial systems. Look at the responsibilities of each individual and what they're doing. Maybe mom or dad can't really grow to the next level because they're actually doing too much in the house. And the kids aren't 4 and 5 years old again. They're 8, 12, 14, but you're still waking up early and you're packing all of their lunches and you're still staying up late and picking up the house and getting the laundry ready for the next day. Your kids are well beyond reasonable years to be able to take care of those things. They can be doing their own laundry. They can be vacuuming their own room, making their own bed, packing their own lunches. And that will free up time for you to get back in shape, for you to study for that course so you can get that next level certificate and get the promotion or the raise. That can give you time to reread the case file and kill it in court tomorrow. But if you're staying up to 2 in the morning and you're not being your best self, maybe you get a little more time to get in shape and get back to your healthier, more energetic self. So look at those systems, the responsibilities, and the consistency in which they are executed. Then you got to ask this question, what got us here that we just can't take with us to the next level? And there's a great metaphor about climbing a mountain and doing what's called trade-offs and trading off what was really important towards the base of the mountain versus trading off what's towards the top, because the top is where things are thinner, more difficult, more challenging. You can't carry that same full kit that you did at the bottom where the air was thick and there was plenty of shade from the trees and there was not as much wind. And now you need different things. So what can you take off of your shoulders? And with those financial systems, you should be reviewing your bank accounts, just like you're reviewing the books in your business. And you need to be like, wow, how did we get so many subscriptions? Why are my children spending so much money on apps on their cell phones? Do the analysis of taking your cell phone, and you should be looking at every Sunday message that comes up on your phone that says, here's your screen time, and this is what you're spending it on. That's great assessments to get you through that next breakpoint. And then just like in business, you need to be building systems. So introduce accountability structures like a chore chart. And here's a basic metric. Here are the basic things you're required to do just as a part of living here. You get a free food, roof, and clothes. This is what you get just for living here. Now we're going to build a budgeting system. Here's some extra chores and some extra things you can do to earn extra money. And we're going to build a budgeting system. I don't want to plug any services, but there are specific like little cards and little apps that kids can get that auto contribute to church, auto put into savings, auto put into entertainment, and then auto put into maybe a college fund. And then they got this money right here and they're auto budgeting with just a little bit of planning up front. And then you can get things like leadership rotations. People get the opportunity to say, hey, we're going on a vacation for, let's say it's a 7-day vacation and you got 3 kids. Hey, little Johnny, you're in charge of day 3 of vacation. What activities we go to, where we're going to eat, what we're going to do, how we're going to transport and get ourselves there. Submit to me before we leave on vacation, the cost and all that stuff. You don't want them to get crazy. Maybe even assign them a budget. Pick us a $300-$400 activity to do as a family so you guys can all go see the dolphins together. And then let them execute. Teach them to go online and make the reservations or call and make sure they have a table for the size of your family, et cetera. What type of leadership responsibility? And then guess what? Sally's in charge of Thursday and Susie's in charge of Friday. And then the parents can do the rest. So that's a really good opportunity for you to do that. What's going to take you to the next level? Replace verbal expectations. Like I told you 3 times, right? I told you 10 times sometimes, you this nagging parent, with written processes, okay? A written process means maybe there's a shared folder on a cell phone that says, here's your chores, here's your responsibilities, and they have to go in and enter the data and check off that they did their chore. Maybe it's just an old-fashioned chore chart and they have to go check the box or move the magnet into the completed area. And then once there's accountability, you move it into the checked off area and they can get paid on it, or they can be allowed to go play with their friends or have some video game time. But instead of just having guesswork, write it down. Everyone learns to operate with clarity. And guess what? We can look at that chore chart, or everyone can see the shared folder in the app that, hey, something's not getting done. Here's the real kicker. This is a little bonus nugget for you as well. And it works good in business as well as it does in families. But like, if somebody's not getting their chores done, and maybe they're just a last minute procrastinator, you can put must be done by Thursday at noon in order to get paid on Friday or earn your privileges. By Thursday at noon, if those chores are not done, guess what? Boom, they become fair play. Anybody else in the house can jump on those chores, get them done, do their brother or sister's laundry, do their brother or sister's dishes and taking out the trash or cleaning up after the animals. And guess what? They get paid for it and they get extra privileges. And I just took advantage of your procrastination. So that's some really fun stuff. Emotional maturity is a really important part, especially as it involves family governance. So you can give, like, I have an older brother to two sisters, and I can give him some responsibility. Say, hey, I'm going to let you take your sisters to the mall, but you're their bodyguard. Listen to me. You don't get more than 10, 15 feet away from them, and you're their bodyguard. You make sure those boys don't come up and flirt with them. You make sure they don't get walking off. Nobody walks off under control. You are the bodyguard. Now, he puffs up as the big protector, things like that. Maturity levels. So once you get to those new emotional levels, you can get emotional control and humility. Those breakpoints have to come with humility. Hey, guys, we're getting into a new threshold of life. We've never been in high school before, so we're all going to have to humble ourselves and learn just a little bit. We can't just walk in there as a freshman and think that we all know what we're doing and we're the cool, awesome family. No, there's humility at each breakpoint. Hey, maybe we've reached an income level. We've moved to a new neighborhood, okay? Hey, we got to see what this neighborhood culture is like. We got to go meet the neighbors and take them some cookies and brownies and muffins and stuff like that and learn about what it is and ask questions about the neighborhood and how people get along. That's important. And you teach your family how to do that, they're already learning how to do business networks and things like that. Your family culture should also allow constructive conflict. You should have maybe an open debate night where everybody gets a little fun category about why is this movie better than that movie? And then we debate back and forth. Do idea sharing. What are your plans? What do you think is fun? Play games together. Build mutual accountability where the three of you have to go get this done. And then you're going to have to teach me how to do it and have teach back sections, not just you teaching your kids all the time. They're going to really learn how to govern themselves and govern their own resources if you can do that. And then lastly, connecting family stability to entrepreneur success. This is what I call work-life harmony. We all like work-life balance, but work-life harmony means it all works in tandem with each other. A disciplined home produces a disciplined entrepreneur, period. An entrepreneur, entrepreneurs who avoid chaos in their homes, they actually build capacity for themselves in their business. They go to work as their best energized self because the stress in their brain is open and ready to handle the world of conflicts, not the family conflicts. And then lastly, the family becomes a multiplier for the leader and those who are being led by the leader, rather than everyone is a drain on each other. So we're going to talk a little bit more about all of these topics here, and we're going to get the breakpoints a little bit more diagnosed in the business system right after this commercial break. Stay tuned. Change is only halfway over. We've got a lot more good stuff to talk about. Just a reminder of our last segment, we were talking about seeing your family as a brand and then developing it into a little bit more of actionable areas. We talked about something like breakpoints, like when you're trying to get to these next level. And what breakpoints mean is not that you're failing as a family, but you have something new, so you need to revamp your systems, your operations, your communications. And then we also learned how to diagnose those breakpoints and be humble when going into that approach. And then we talked about what systems you need to do for the next level. We did everything from chore charts to accountability to training methods. And then we talked about emotional maturity and governance and how to get people to govern themselves and be well-disciplined entrepreneurs and things like that. And all that points down to the bullet point of having family stability equals business stability. Being able to have all of this clarity and the least amount of friction and chaos possible clears your mind and actually, instead of drains you, empowers you and energizes you to go out and be your best self. And you can expand your business through not just treating the symptoms of whatever stress and going and getting a massage and working out one time here and trying to eat less fast food, right? But you can actually attack the cause, which is the friction at home and the cloudiness of your mind. So that was a lot of fun stuff. So now we're going to talk about some of these breakpoints and how they talk about being critical for scaling your business. One of the things I learned at the 10X 360 seminar, I went down to Miami, the Boca Raton area, and I had a lot of meetings down there, had that wonderful cruise with a lot of people that we went on. But the breakpoints was really broken down into a bunch of areas. And they actually have a chart that they have actual dollar signs on their breakthrough points. But one of the things about understanding breakthroughs is that it's stages of business. I think it's pretty common that we would say that the needs of a business that is grossing and making $300,000, those needs and demands are different than the one that's making $30 million. And so there's metrics and stages in between. And those stages are just simply called breakpoints. And when you evaluate yourself and you make changes to grow from breakpoint to breakpoint to who knows, you're a $1 billion company, okay? So they require specific systems, different levels of talent, and different leadership behaviors. So let's talk about like maybe a $300,000 level, you're going to have a highly involved owner. And those people usually at that level are just called owners or founders of their businesses. And once you're an entrepreneur, you can call yourself an entrepreneur once you've had, you know, 5 to 10 years of success, of stability and things like that. And you've got a growing, sustained business that's broken those standard percentages of how many people fail in their startups, right? So what happens at 300,000 doesn't work at 3 million. What works at 3 million can't get you to scale to 30 million. You got to make it. You got to force maturity. You got to force operations to change. You got to manage the finances. You got to get the sales increased, marketing increased, culture increased, and leadership is going to have to form and change over time, which means you, the owner, the executive, the leader, are going to have to form and change into something that you are right now, a better version of yourself, so the company can be a better version of itself. That's what's so beautiful, is that it forces those things to happen, or you get stuck at that breakpoint. The other thing that I learned is that, you know, you've heard me articulate this in different ways, and so this is just reinforcing what you've heard before, but you can get basically some core areas that you're focusing on, and of course, I think the best area is people. Focus on people, right? If you are the right people, then you get the right people on the bus, or if you have people that are new or maybe a little bit of a clean slate, they're interns or fresh out of college or changing careers into a new industry, that blank slate is pretty cool, because then you get to create the exact right person that you want. And that's very exciting too. It does involve a little higher level of mentorship, but that is really great to do. Marketing is another one. A lot of people have what's called grassroots marketing. Grassroots marketing is by far the most effective in getting true referrals and true business to buy on. If Johnny walks down the street, so I run an advisory firm, a value-based advisory firm, in which we help people just really create some opportunities to grow their businesses, right? We save them money on taxes, we save them money on liabilities, implement best practices, and they create this giant hole of time and money that they can now spend growing their business. So if we can do that for people, That's really beneficial, but how do I scale that? How do I grow that? Well, grassroots is where somebody comes in and says, hey, you got to go use Ryan. These guys, they're expensive, but man, they're the best. They're going to change your life. That's about the best referral you can think of. You're ready to pay me a lot of money, and you know that I'm going to do a good job. That's grassroots marketing. But then you have stuff like email marketing. You have radio ads, newspaper ads. You've got, you know, social media marketing and all these drip and nudge campaigns. Well, you need marketing and you need to get referrals from other than grassroots, because grassroots are not predictable. They're the most effective in probably getting a yes and somebody to come buy your product or service, but they're unpredictable. You don't know when somebody's going to make a referral. It's not always exactly the exact right client. And then you have the borderline of saying like, hey, we're going to turn down this client because they're not an exact fit, and I may hurt my existing client because he referred them and we didn't take them. Sales is another one. You actually need to increase your sales before you, or excuse me, increase your marketing before you increase your sales. If you just start spending money on salespersons and sales teams, you're going to spend money before you earn it, before you have the referrals from a marketing campaign to then be converted by your sales team. So don't put the cart in front of the horse in front of that one. And then operations, you have to have clean systems, clearing SOPs. Everyone has to know their roles, responsibilities. You got to be measuring metrics and rewarding people the right way. Like, what do they show up and do? And this is just your base job responsibility. And you're just going to make your money for showing up and doing your job, right? And then you have your finance. You have to get clean books. You have to be relying on CFOs, probably not at a lower level, but CPAs and people that are going to clean your books, keep them up to date. Don't run your business from your cash register and your bank account. Do I got enough money? Okay, I'll spend some money. That's not true information. Look at budgets, look at last year, last quarter, last 5 years, and do predictions of next quarter, next year, next 5 years, and then really set your goals and chase your goals. And that's where the leadership comes in. Leadership's going to be a lot more intense and involved on the lower level. And as you grow, you're going to lead other leaders, then you're going to lead other teams of leaders, and then you're going to continue to grow up till you're doing complete oversight. And there's an entire system of leadership underneath you. So each core area must be upgraded differently depending on the breakpoint. So think about that with your family. You go from toddler to elementary to middle school to high school. You got to upgrade. You got to keep upgrading. Families only get more complex, and businesses are the same way. So where we see a lot of businesses fail is when they apply the wrong strategy at the wrong stage. You may have some startup company trying to act like a public company with all of these CFOs and build this huge board of advisors, and they just get stuck down in the weeds. They all do the infighting and they can't grow because they're too small for that. So don't hit these ceilings. Break through those breakpoints. So get an evaluation of your talent. As you grow bigger and more complex, is your team upgrading their skills, their credentials, and the required CPE education, things like that? Are they upgrading their team roles? Are they going from an awesome team member to a trainer, to a manager, a supervisor, and above? Are you increasing your marketing value before you're hiring that sales team and not putting the cart in front of the horse? Do you have financial discipline? Are you forecasting, or are you just making reactive decisions? Have you shifted your mindset for each required scale up that you know that I'm going to have to stop doing certain roles and tasks, and I'm just going to have to start leading in these areas instead of doing the whole getting out of your own way mentality? And then you got to let go of emotional attachment. This is a huge one. We can get emotionally attached to old bad clients, really bad habits. If it's like, it's just easier for me to do it and fix it, right? That wastes your time if you're trying to lead and delegate. Attachment to our systems. Oh, but we've always done it this way. Adopt and scale to new ones, okay? Get comfortable with complexity and velocity. If you can do that, you'll be able to scale almost indefinitely. And there is some simplicity that you do want to keep into it. That's the other side of the structure, is that it's got to be easy. Like, an eighth grader has to be able to read your workflow and understand what they're doing, as long as they have some industry jargon. So the more you grow, the more structure you need. You can only rise to the level of your systems. You don't rise to the occasion. You fall to the level of your systems. So the structures, they ultimately create freedom. It reduces errors, reduces confusion, it empowers people to just go and perform. So bring this lesson back to your family model as well. You have great structures, it actually gives your kids more freedom. They're going to reduce mistakes and errors, like, but Dad, I didn't know I couldn't do that. But Mom, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. They're going to know, and it's going to empower them to go out and live in the real world without violating the family core values and things such as that. So I want to challenge you a little bit more thinking with how this applies to your breakpoint. Can we take application right now to say, do we believe that a $1 million company needs a president and then five partners partnered up with them, where you're going to have to distribute all of the earnings amongst five partners when you're only making $1 million gross, and then you've got to pay out your employees, all your expenses, your overhead, and everything like that? No, you're living the public company corporate dream level. And that would be a wonderful structure, you know, with a 10X on top of that. If you're making $10 million, you might need some more partners. But there's a general rule that says don't take on a partner unless you have to take on a partner. If you're needing to recruit capital, if you're needing to acquire another book of business, if you're overtaking another person in your town, yeah, start taking, or your region, yeah, take on a partner so that you can diversify the work. But you better be putting in those systems, communicating, having great contracts, buy-sell agreements, operating agreements, standard operating procedures, and all of the policies that keep you liability protected, keep your people growing strong. They know the right systems. They know the permissions they have. They know the initiatives they're supposed to take. And they know the boundaries of which they're not supposed to cross this line and come back and check in and report back. You should have a system of metrics and KPIs. KPIs are the high level of which you say, hey, here's a key performance indicator for our company. Did we hit our overall sales goal? Did we hit our overall revenue per employee? Did we hit our overall numerical sales goal? Did we hit our budget reduction when we said we had to save 2% this year? Did we hit these large KPIs? And then the metrics are the people saying, hey, did you turn in 100% of your reports for the week? Did you turn in 100% of your sales tickets? Did you show up on time every day? Did you accomplish your CPE training for this year? Did you get your 40 hours in? Did you do this? And you build those metrics, you build those scales, you build a tracking system. And then instead of you getting in there and having to do all the plumbing, you say, hey, did my plumbers finish the certification? Did they go from journeyman to plumber to, I can't remember the next level, but they grow. And you can be a master electrician, master plumber, whatever it is. So build those structures and start stepping out and monitoring more. You have to keep going for that 50,000 foot level. So stick tight. We're going to be back with a little bit more right after this. And we'll talk about how all of these things apply to the ultra high net worth people whom I met and had great discussions in Financial Week and the Family Office Week in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Stay tuned for the final segment of Pivotal Change. That you could get Pivotal Change 24/7 streaming anywhere, anytime, direct to you. You go to www.nowmedia.tv. You can find all of our bilingual episodes. You can download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. You get full access to all of these episodes, everything from business to lifestyle, culture, anything in between, and even Pivotal Change, your favorite show. Streaming 24/7 wherever you are, and you can even get the podcast version in case you have to listen on the go. I think that's a fantastic thing that we're doing here, and Now Media is always trying to level up, which is largely what we're talking about with you and your families here today. On the last segment, right before we got here, we talked about a few key points. We talked about understanding breakpoints and how breakpoints work and that they're a framework for success in achieving the next level. We talked about six core areas, you know, about the people and the finances and the operations, about how you can break through those growth ceilings. You have to be able to make change. You can't get stuck hanging on to the old stuff if you want to break through the growth ceilings. And that's ultimately talking about the leaders first having to change who they are. And that's a mindset shift. That's how you scale, is you change from being a person down in operations, growing your own company, to leading a company and leadership teams and divisions and maybe even locations all over the country. And then the structure ultimately creates freedom. And we compare that back to the family unit once again. The more structure you provide your children with clarity, the less mistakes and issues there are, and they actually have freedom to go be their best selves without having to worry constantly about upsetting mom and dad. So keep those things in mind, and we're going to talk here in the next little bit about diversification and positioning, how to do expertise and delegation, how to create relation wealth, and then assessing opportunities and people, and then generational wealth is a very big thing that people are worried about. So when we do this, there is a power of diversification. So I was in the United Arab Emirates. I was specifically in the cities of Dubai and Abu Dhabi, driving back and forth. Had incredible experiences. There's plenty of work and plenty of vacation involved as well. But here's what I did. I met probably 30 billionaires while I was there, sent to millionaires and a lot of people in whom I'm desiring to have a lifestyle like that as well. This is one of the most beautiful places in the world, and they think differently. One of the big things about the billionaires and the people that were at these conferences in Abu Dhabi is they're thinking in portfolios. They're not thinking in generalized projects. And they've been thinking in portfolios for a long time. They're thinking about how does this diversify me? How does this cover basic geographic areas that are not just me sitting here in my hometown? How do I get to different areas? How do I get into different asset classes? How do I own commercial, residential, digital coins, financial funds, things like that? And what are my risk levels and what are my exposures? And I think it's really appropriate in the last segment, I told you that what you need as a leader is different at various levels, But you should always be looking to that future and considering things about, am I diversified? Do I have three lawnmowers, even though I have just two guys on my crew, in case one breaks down? Do I at least have a backup lawnmower I can borrow from a buddy or get in the garage? All the way to, what is my risk level in taking this crazy investment fund? And I can get huge payouts, but it's a roller coaster ride. You know, the ultra high net worth aren't looking for those quick, easy buttons. They understand that wealth grows wealth. The other thing they do is they always assess the downside protection before the necessary upside potential. They are always looking to protect their assets and not get poor and not just look at growing their wealth. They don't want to stay the same because ultimately the time value of money will change and their position will go down, but they always have to look at the downside first. So look at your risks first before you get fixated on that shiny object that says, ooh, more money. The other thing is expertise and delegation. That is so important at a high level. So once you start going up and you're raising up a new sales rep, new operations managers, you got new skilled people developing, whether you're installing, you know, audio systems and electronics, or again, you're mowing lawns and you just promise all your clients that you're going to do it back and forth to get the light and dark patterns. You're training good people and you're building strong individuals, strong teams, and you're creating specialists, people that are passionate about and talk about what they're doing almost ad nauseum and even answer the little minutiae. Those little minutiae ultimately build great rewards, even skyscrapers. Every nut and bolt of what you're looking at on that screen is accounted for by a person that has expertise, and the wealthy individuals rely on those people and the strong teams they create. They focus on their highest leverage decisions and they outsource all the lower level decisions or work that can be done. They're not trying to get bogged down with having to do every single facet and capacity of what the job entails. The model mirrors the lessons from segment one. Leadership is ultimately about orchestration. Leadership is about being able to so-called wave your hands and point people in directions and make those decisions. That's so important that you learn to orchestrate early. The relational wealth is, this is kind of the hidden billionaire advantage, right? True wealth is built through strong alliances, these networks, these relationships, these long-term partnerships. Some of these partnerships aren't even financial. They're just two friends that have been growing up alongside each other. And I use the friends as business acquaintances, really. And they don't mind referring each other business. Hey, if I have to pay you to contract out a service, you're going to pay me to contract out the other service as well. And we're building these partnerships. And I know you're a trusted individual, so I can put your name on one of my projects, or I can put your name in front of one of my clients so that you can take care of them in an area that I can't serve them, and vice versa. So in the UAE, these environments of trust, of reputation, and the cultural understanding of what builds this business to this level, that's going to completely determine your opportunity. So let's break that down on a local level. If you can invest in people before you ever have the opportunity to invest in projects, those people will bring you the better work, the better reputation, the better projects, and your company will have a better culture, and it will determine your opportunity. Even if you're just building sheds, you can eventually build garages, and then you can build specialty buildings, and then you can build workshops and barns and ultimately condominiums or commercial buildings. But you got to start somewhere, and you got to build that with strong alliances and networks. It's so great how this works and it all pieces together. Assessing opportunities and people was something that I thought was really incredible. So there's something called the ultra high net worth families or ultra high net worth individuals, okay? And they excel at reading someone's integrity. They excel at just analyzing a person and seeing their discipline and their potential. And they're not afraid to take a risk on somebody that shows that upward trajectory, because they put so much time in studying people and leadership and their system that in just a few short moments, they can understand if you can walk the walk and talk the talk, right? And so they spent an exceptional time learning about themselves and humans. That patterns of behavior, not just necessarily empty promises. So your actions, your pattern, your follow through is going to demonstrate more to them than anything else. They want to invest in other leaders as well. So if they want something built or done or a fund created, they want to see, of course, a little bit of your track record, but they want to know that you can demonstrate clarity in your position and what it is you're doing, whether it's a retail product all the way to building skyscrapers. They actually want you to have humility. That whole eccentric millionaire type of thing. Yeah, they certainly exist, and I've met a few of them. But the ones that have true wealth and don't get the little side eye from the rest of the group are the ones that live in humility and ultimately the execution. And the execution was so incredible that the highest, most successful people follow up quickly. They get back almost instantly. If I just met a new person, I walk out of the event, I walk out of the thing, and on the ride home in the Uber, I'm texting them, hey, great to meet you, man. That's awesome. Give me my email. I'm going to link up with you within an hour of having met this person. The bare minimum, if you're jumping on a plane, you got to do it the next day. So cool. They're looking for those patterns, behavior, and those demonstrated values. Another one is seeing wealth through a generational lens. They are not looking, like I said, at a project saying, how much is this project going to make me? They're looking at how was my legacy going to be seen in this building. If I serve this client, let's say with advisory services, how are they going to see me? Are they going to be able to grow and I grow along with them, right? Are we going to take each other to a mutually beneficial, better place through our relationship? My decisions are not made for this calendar year and my bottom line. There are goals, there are KPIs as I discussed, but I'm ultimately looking, is this going to help my 20-year and 50-year horizon? Am I setting up my kids for success with this relationship, with a vision that I'm forecasting, and I'm looking far out on the horizon, not just to next quarter, okay? These people are looking to build generational wealth. Am I saving? Am I putting things into actual retirement accounts, actual things that I'm gonna pass down to my kids in a will? If you've reached a certain wealth level, are you protecting yourself in a trust and making sure that your assets are safe from some catastrophic event or crazy person, right? Does all of this ultimately go back to segment one and mirror your family brand philosophy? Do you build a legacy with a long range vision? That is one of the most toxic things in our decision-making culture in the Western world. I'd say most of the world at this point is that we are constantly making short-term decisions. I want the instant gratification, this real quick, slightly or more, much more easier win than instead of the discipline and whatever it takes to hold off the reward until I can help my future out. Do I want to trade off skipping a day of practice to go hang out with my friends at their birthday party? Or do I want to be the person that gets that extra skill, gets that extra rep, and that scores the final point, gets the final takedown, allows me to kick the field goal while under stress because I went to practice and got 30, 40, 50 more reps or whatever it is that I'm doing? Because if you skip too many practices, if you're even with somebody, you skip even one practice, now they're better than you. And I think the wealthy understand that they're not going to skip steps. They're building long-term. And once you get to that range where you're delegating and you're orchestrating can happen much faster on a cell phone or an email or a phone call than it does grinding at a computer, grinding in a factory, grinding in the manufacturing facility. And you can get out and breathe and be someplace really cool, like an F1 race, and still making work decisions. I answered work emails on that yacht watching an F1 race because I knew that if I didn't satisfy this customer now, my reputation might be tarnished. I also had other people answering a whole lot of emails for me as well. So tie this back to that very opening statement, or one of the opening statements, that a disciplined, structured family creates generational strength. That's something that you guys need to see. So normally I tell you at this point in the show to go out into the world, but this time I want you to go into your home and into your business, and I want you to see the change and be the change. We'll catch you right here next time on Pivotal Change.